All right, welcome back. I'm here with Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Dave.
And we have a special guest with us this week, Mark Hoffman. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. Is this my podcast voice?
So you think that's a thing, huh?
There's podcast a podcast voice.
No, I don't think that's a thing.
Mocking. Hey, so the podcast is Live It Out, and one of the things that we've talked about pretty much at length is how we do Live It Out doesn't have a certain format. So it's just really supposed to be like, how do you use it? So as we get ready to talk about some stuff that we maybe talked about this past weekend, first, let's just hear, how do you use Live It Out? How does that work for you?
So is it Live It Out like the discipleship guide, or is it, how do I live it out?
Yeah. How do you use the guide?
How do you use the guide?
When we had Aaron on this spring, whenever that was. That's something lots of people have commented on.
Yeah.
Oh, it was really fun hearing how all of you use the Live It Out guide a little bit differently. So they got to hear how Dave does it, I do it, or did it then, Aaron.
Yeah.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, for me, it's become like, I'm a checklist guy. So it's like, I want to be a good team player, make sure we're living it out together. And so I already had a routine going.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really interesting about adding the whole Live It Out piece each week. Was it jacked up in a really cool way, the routine I had going. Because sometimes routines are great, but they also can be monotonous. They can also be a rut you get in. Like you read a psalm, you do this, you do that. And I'm listening to a part of, a podcast. But like, it's really been helpful. And the cool part about the Live It Out piece for me, and I am a box checker. I'm doing it. I'm answering all the questions that are asked. I'm doing it. And for me, I think I've mentioned this before to you guys at least. Like I just can't sit there and think. Like I it wouldn't be good for me to do it in my car or on the road somewhere, because I feel like for me to concentrate and to be in it, I got to be writing. So I got to be writing stuff out. So I write the question, then I sit and ask and kind of respond to the question. And I loved, and this I know this was early on, but I love the piece that we added a while ago for worship. Like, I think it's just been really cool to end in a space where, okay, you're taking all the things you've wrestled with and prayed about and asked God to speak to you in, and then allow the worship piece to take you even to another place. So, yeah, I'm doing Live It Out.
That gives us a little insight too. You tend to hit that song at the end.
Yeah, it's like a reward. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I can't remember what everybody said. I typically do that first.
Huh. Aaron does it first.
She does? Okay.
I think that's what she said.
Okay.
And she can correct us when she's back on. But yeah, and then sometimes it's first, sometimes it's last. Yeah. I think for me, I don't have like a set way. And it sometimes really depends for me. Like if I really know the song, the likelihood if I know the song, it'll go first, is significantly higher than if I don't know the song.
If you know the song, you're more likely to listen to it first before you do the rest of it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I got to add to that, though, I think it's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, even though I've got these other, like I have a reading plan I'm doing and some other stuff I'm up to, but it's been really, I mean, this shouldn't surprise me at all, but it's been really cool to see how sometimes when you're doing Live It Out, you think, okay, this is that thing, and then you move to this other thing, and how the Spirit of God takes so many different places and resources that you've already been kind of in, and it kind of intermingles and is enmeshed in such a way, like, it's not a different thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like, well, I'm doing this. It's how the Spirit of God takes the Word of God in such a way that moves it into a place that says, yeah, I'm speaking in all these different ways in these different avenues. It's been kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cool.
It's actually been freeing to be in a new rhythm of having some other stuff that's jacked up my old rhythm.
And they don't all have to be separate.
Yeah.
And
some days I do some of it, some days I do part of it, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully people are using it. Hopefully people are using it. The way people are using it, hopefully, is a Spirit-led endeavor to allow them to use it in a way that's going to connect them to Jesus is really the goal, right?
Yeah. And that's cool that you have, I mean, I don't know how many people in our church are doing kind of what you described, but I think it is, it doesn't have to be like, well, this year I'm going to choose to do either a Bible reading plan or use Live It Out.
It's not so cumbersome that it's going to, invade every part of your...
Right. I can't read anything else in the Bible because I'm so weighed down in Live It Out.
Though I do love, and it takes a little bit more work, when we listen or read an entire passage or entire book or entire letter, like just to see the continuity of all that, that takes a little effort and a little time.
Yeah,
but
it does.
Good.
Yeah.
So this past weekend, we talked about how knowing Jesus leads to a grateful life where we can choose joy and stand firm, as we were in Philippians chapter 3. And so just a little bit about, as you think about the idea of choosing joy and standing firm, how does that interconnect with gratitude for you, Tim?
Okay.
It gets confusing. Like, there's who you're talking to. Tim, how's that connect for you?
How does...
Choosing joy and standing firm. How does that connect to gratitude for you?
Oh, yeah. So, well, it's... For me, the big... Probably the big thing in this passage was just little... It's almost like an aside in verse 12. When Paul says, I don't have it in front of me, but he says like, Christ has taken hold of me. I think that's where he says it. I think it's something like that. But it's that idea that we talked a little bit about this in sermon meeting last week. Like Paul knows who he belongs to.
Yeah.
And it's just one little phrase there, but that was like, oh yeah, that is where, you kind of look back at what Jesus has done and where I am with him because of what he's done. I have gratitude there. And then as I look forward, okay, I can choose joy because I actually have something to be joyful about. I belong to Christ. I can stand firm because Jesus is going to be with me through it all because I belong to him. It's like that reality of knowing I belong to Jesus. He's chosen me. He is with me, and I'm with him. Then, okay, I can be joyful because I got something to be joyful. That's good news. I can be joyful about that, and I can stand firm because he's going to be with me in whatever comes. That's kind of the way those things connect in my mind as we've been reading this passage.
How about for you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm saying that same. He even gets, not only did he stand with us, but he says he made me his own.
Yeah.
Like that's powerful. Like Jesus Christ made me his own. Like I belong to him. Like the whole point of this past weekend was, hey, knowing Jesus is what's going to cause us to choose joy. Knowing Jesus is what's going to cause us to stand firm when life is anything but firm and it's unraveling. And the fact that he's made me his own, that I belong to him, that I know him, not just know him like I walked into a relationship with him, but know him and have developed a relationship with him and experienced him over time, seeing the presence of God undeniably so in places I never thought, dreamt, or imagined. How can I look at my life and come to any other conclusion but to be grateful? Like, and that's the gratefulness I think you were pointing at too. Like when I look back at all he's been, all that he is, how can I not be grateful today and then trust him for all that he still longs to do and be in our lives today, tomorrow, and the next, right?
Yeah. You know, there was a couple weeks ago when we had some baptism videos because some people were getting baptized. And
that's generally when we do the baptism videos. People are getting baptized.
Oh, we can mock?
Yeah,
no, good. Not on the podcast.
Okay. All right.
But no, there were a couple of people who talked about just knowing that God was with them, you know?
Yeah.
And that is what just nailed me in those stories was like, just God is with me. He's here. He's not abandoning me. He's chosen me. He's made me his own. Like that has... I don't know. It's easy to talk about it like it's a church idea. It's a theological truth that I belong to Jesus.
Yeah.
But Mark, what you're talking about is like the practical reality of going, okay, if that's true, that really does change my perspective on my everyday life. And hearing people talk about that, like in those baptism stories, is just so powerful to go, this isn't just an idea that you can know is true. It's something that changes the way you live and feel as you go through your day. That's a big deal, for sure.
Huge.
Yeah.
So in a practical kind of way, as we've been through this series, how has that, we talked about it maybe a little bit already with Tim and I, but Mark, have you noticed either the struggle with being grateful, or you've experienced more of being grateful as kind of we've been through this series, working our way through Philippians?
I think one of the questions that came out of Live It Out, maybe it was last week or the week before, like, hey, looking back over your lifetime, where can you actually look at where God's been present and I hate the word come through for you, because I don't think he comes through for us. I think he's always present, but there's ways in which he's revealed himself in some profound ways. And it's caused me to look back at some pretty significant moments in my life to know that, wow, God cared for a little 10-year-old boy who wanted to follow Jesus. God cared for a 22-year-old who was struggling to figure out what that looks like. God cared for a 30-some. I mean, I look back over my lifetime and see the presence of God in some profound ways that leaves me with nothing but gratitude. Like, wow, that, and it goes back to what we talked about just a few moments ago, that he made me his own. Like he literally made me his own. And to look back at the story, to look back at the history, I think there's, I know you guys rib me, at least you do, Dave, for talking about being old. I am old and I'm grateful to be old. I'm 63 years old. I think that's old. And I'm grateful to be old enough, because I think being old enough and have lived long enough, at least I have some history to look back and go, without question, I've seen God present in my life in ways I never deserved. And yet God has been so kind, so grateful, not only to me, but to my family and to the work, to the church. I don't know. I feel like the discipline of looking back and seeing who he's been has caused me to be more grateful today and literally to trust him for all that's still ahead.
Yeah. It is good to have history.
It is. It is. Age isn't a bad thing. It can be a good thing. Right. It can work for you.
And, you know, for the 15-year-old listening to the Live It Out podcast,
yeah,
your parents have, you know, like, there's also a part of, I think about in my own life, there's my history that I look back on and how God has been faithful. But I also had the blessing of hearing stories of God's faithfulness to my parents, you know, and grandparents as I was growing up. So sometimes you just gotta import somebody else's history who's got a longer history with God. And even that can be, can have that kind of impact on gratitude and grateful life, for sure.
Yeah. Or even just the history that we have through scripture,
right?
That as we trace it back through, and it's hard for me to remember sometimes that the people in the scriptures are real people,
yeah,
who had real stuff going on in their lives in real ways. And it's good to remember, like, our heritage is connected to them. Our faith is connected to them in a way that says, wait a minute, Paul was a real person suffering in a real prison. It's not all, even in this letter, as he's getting ready to tell us, don't be anxious. He's already told us, I'm anxious. So it's not like he had it all figured out. You know,
right.
It's something where it's real life playing out.
And that comes out over and over in the Psalms too. And I have to remind myself sometimes, like, the people who were, like using those Psalms in worship, And God is through the psalm calling them to rejoice about what God did in the Exodus. Well, they may have been using that psalm in worship hundreds of years after the Exodus happened. So it's not like they were like, oh, remember when God got me out of slavery in Egypt? But they still could say, remember how God got us out of slavery in Egypt. Those are my people, and God saved them, and they saved us. And we're still part of that. Even though we're removed by thousands of years instead of hundreds of years, we're still part of that lineage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. So this week on, speaking of the Psalms, just talking about the way we do Live It Out, this week on Thursday, we're doing Psalm 37. And as we think about using a psalm, so here we are, we're in the middle of a letter that Paul wrote to followers of Jesus, and we're doing that, and we'll come back to this, that we're doing that 4 out of the 5 days. But why all of a sudden does it switch, Tim, on Thursday? Are we doing a psalm? What's that really all about? As we think about spiritual practices, what's that really, what are we trying to do there?
Yeah. We do that from time to time. We'll throw in a psalm midweek, and it's not always like it's a perfect fit with the, it's not like that's
not the point.
Yeah. That psalm isn't referenced by Philippians chapter 3. So it's not like there's a direct line there, but I think it's helpful to go, okay, let's look at a different kind of, really different kind of literature.
Yeah.
Within the Bible.
An ancient hymn.
Yeah. And so it's a different way of engaging. And I think sometimes like reading and meditating on a psalm can, it's just might click in a different way than reading a letter does, reading a letter that's written to a particular person or people. And it's, there's a message being sent that way. A psalm, a hymn, a song is really different. And so even like the ideas that Mark taught through from Psalm chapter, from Philippians chapter 3, like those things, to look at those truths and see where they come through in a psalm, I end up engaging with those truths about God and who he is and what he's done, what he's doing. I engage with them differently when I encounter them in a song, an ancient hymn, than just in the passage that kind of they came out of. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And on that day, we're going to talk about where do you see injustice or concerns in the world around you? And then how does Psalm 37 address your feelings in that? And so I think often when we think about scripture, we've been taught that it's about facts, not feelings, right? It's hey, this is just truth. It's not how you feel about it. But psalms take you on an emotional journey. They're supposed to. Yes. They're songs. There's poems. And so God is an emotional God. He takes us on an emotional journey. So how does that, as you think about the idea of trying to go, okay, wait, how does this scripture make me feel? Mm-hmm. How is that an important spiritual practice?
Well, feelings are a big deal.
Yeah?
They're a big deal. I think allowing the weight of what's being poured out, like we were talking this past week, some of the psalms, there's pouring out, God, rain down sulfur on my enemies. I mean, I don't think we can use that verse and go, God, you should rain down sulfur on my enemies. But that guy was feeling under some significant weight, going, I can't take the pressure anymore. It's just too much. So there's an expression of that. It's not like that's the word, black and white, let's do this.
Yeah.
But like he's pouring out his heart to God. I can't take the pressure anymore. The intensity that's rised up against me is just too much for me to bear.
Yeah.
So it's an expression. It's he's pouring his heart out to God and he's saying, help me, rescue me. Like to engage in the feeling and the emotion of it all is significant for us to just read that and go, huh, must have been a hard day for him. Right. But he like, well, yeah. I think you're missing it, right?
Right. And to pay attention to if reading that makes me go, yeah, I wish God would rain down sulfur on my enemies too. Like if that's the feeling I have, well, I should pay attention to that and go, okay, I wonder why.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm feeling that, yeah. It's, it's this idea that you don't directly control your feelings, but feelings are often brought on by the things we think about. You can control the things you think about. So when God gives you something to think about, like a psalm, see what feelings that stirs up in you. And then, we always say, live it out. The guide should start a conversation between you and God. Well, that's something to talk about is, God, why do I feel this way? Why do I either, I want you to rain sulfur down on my enemies, or I don't, or I'm like, oh, God, why would he want that? Whatever that stirs up in me, it's good to have a conversation with God about that.
Yeah, and the Psalms, aren't they're not the only place where feelings emerge. I mean, Paul's pouring out his heart in this letter.
Yeah.
And Philippians, he's like, hey, I long for this for you. I want you to know the same passion and desire I have to know Jesus, like nothing else in my life. Like I want this. There's a passion and a pursuit in that. There's a lot of feeling behind that.
Yeah. And you could go, I mean, there's lots of feelings you could have about that, but you could go, oh yeah, I feel what he feels. Or you might go, why does he care so much about these people? I don't know what that's like. Why don't I know what that's like?
Why don't I understand that?
Yeah.
in Psalm 37 that we particularly this week, I mean, it talks about this idea of injustice. Where do you see wrongs in the world? And so, okay, so it's not maybe like, hey, God, get my enemies, because we're on the other side of the cross, right? Like from where the psalmist was, they could only look forward to the cross, and we're looking back at the cross, and our approach is different. The enemies that they have aren't the enemies that we have. But as we're framing that, how do we handle that as he's crying out, going, hey, I see this injustice in the world. How do we, on the other side of that, how do we approach that?
I think you mentioned even there, like the enemies of God. And, you know, like, I think that's good to go like, okay, so who, as a passage like this talks about, you know, the enemies of the Lord. I mean, it uses that kind of phrase a couple times to go, okay, on this side of who are God's enemies? Who is he? Who's against him, and who is he against? And I think it is helpful to go, okay, I know there are spiritual forces aligned against Jesus and against his people. And my neighbor who isn't interested in following Jesus, he's not my enemy.
Right.
But there's real spiritual forces who are my enemy and who are God's enemies. And so I think it's helpful to think, you know, that's one way to take to, as you read through a psalm like that, is take that approach and go, okay, God, what do I, you know, what are you doing in the parts of the world I don't, unseen, in the unseen realm, if you want to use that phrase.
Yeah.
And to go, okay, God, these are the things I want to see you do. I want to see that kind of victory over evil in the world, spiritual evil in the world, and the way it's manifest.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really important that we take the time as we're reading those and allow it to take us on that journey of going, okay, what's it look like? But then to really reflect on the enemy that we do have. And Paul's clear that all of our conflict is spiritual, mm-hmm. all of it. And that just doesn't mean our conflict within the church. That includes any conflict that we have outside of the church. And so as we look at the things that we feel like aren't right in our world, we have to remember first and foremost that the battle is a spiritual battle. It's a real battle in the heavenly places against spiritual forces. And while that manifests always through people, it's gonna appear on the surface like it's through people. We do need to remember that often the person that I think is my enemy is the mission of God. Right? Because we're all right. Like I can sit there and go, okay, hey, we were all once under God's wrath, according to Paul, the church writing to the church in Ephesus. We're all under God's wrath. We're all children of wrath. But because of God's grace, we've been transformed. And you sit there and go, okay, the same is true for every person that I meet that's out there, that there's a possibility that they might respond to the gospel. That person is the mission of God. Hey, so I'm going to switch now just a little bit. As we've been talking about spiritual practices, one of the each week we're kind of like highlighting one, and the one we're highlighting this week is the idea of meditating upon Scripture. And we've talked about that before, but in particular, this passage in Philippians chapter 3, not every week do we read and reread and reread the same passage, but for 3 days in a row, we're rereading the same passage over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of alluding to a little bit what Mark already touched on, but Paul is showing some real emotional outpouring here, some real depth of what's going on inside of him. So let's talk a little bit about meditation upon Scripture. As you were describe that, how would you describe, what does that look like for you to meditate upon Scripture, or maybe something that you've learned as you've practiced meditating upon Scripture?
Who's going first? Me? I'll answer that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I don't know if there is a right answer. For me, I would think of it like turning something over and over in my mind, at where I'm trying to you know, catch the different sides of a phrase or a whole paragraph. But like, I don't know, it's just, it's so easy for me to read something once, and then when I read it again a second time or a third time, there are big things that I completely missed. So that just makes me want to read it again a fourth time and a fifth time, because I didn't realize there were things I didn't catch the first two times. So there's probably something I'm missing still. So that's kind of, for me, is I often just feel like I need to read something a bunch of times to catch these little different flavors in it. And I call that meditating on scripture, because it's not just reading it over, but like, it's thinking it over a bunch of times, you know, to read, at least for me, to read it several times is then to think it over several times, and different things stand out, and pay attention to what stands out. That's kind of the way I think of it, the way it works for me.
Yeah. And meditation just in the world means emptying your mind, right? And this is not meditating upon scripture. It's actually the opposite, as opposed to like secular meditation.
Oh, right.
You know, just empty your mind and just be. That isn't meditating upon scripture. It's actually, you know, doing what you said, like putting scripture in my mind over and over and over again. And so some weeks we've done it different ways. We've said, hey, listen to this passage three times. Hey, go through this passage five times. But it's definitely the how am I going over and over? And I would say on any of those days where we're going through this chapter 3 of Philippians would be a great day to say, hey, throughout the day today, I'm going to listen to this passage, you know, five times, whatever that looks like. And I'm not just going to do it, you know, as I'm starting my day with Live It Out. I'm going to actually maybe even set an alarm throughout the day going, okay, how am I going to listen to this passage throughout the day? Because one of the things that you said before when we were actually writing Live It Out this week, you had said, you're just talking about, there's just so much there.
Yeah.
There's so many one-liners. There's a reason that we have coffee cups and pillows stitched with a lot of these verses, right? Yeah. From these verses in particular here in chapter 3 into chapter 4. It's because it's really rich. And so How about for you, Mark, as you think about going over and over in your mind?
Well, actually, with this passage in mind, like, you know, I had a little bit of a lead time with you guys for the last couple of weeks. I've just been sitting in it because I know that, you know, last week was coming up and I want to be ready for the passage itself. And you're right, there's a lot of great verses. Philippians is filled with, like, these are the one-liners, man. This is the stuff that I used to just pull out, write on a card, you know, put in the Jeep, look at it on the dashboard or whatever, and just kind of dwell on it, meditate, and think about it. And yet, as we've moved more and more toward, yeah, those are important verses, those are important thoughts, but to look at the whole picture. And I was, I hear people say, well, I was running the other day, like I run every day, but I was running one day.
Embrace
it. It was a Friday, it was a couple weeks ago, and I was just listening to the whole book, which isn't that long, a whole letter, and I was kind of centering in on chapter 3, and there's this piece that, you know, it you have to look a little bit for it to see it, but there was this sense that Paul kept getting back to, man, I just am passionate about knowing Jesus. Uh-huh. Like, he's up in age now. I mean, he's passionate about knowing Jesus. And he says, I know I haven't done it perfectly. I know I'm not doing it perfectly, but I have this passionate pursuit. And what I want for myself, I want for the church, I want the people that are following Jesus to know him so that when the tough times come, they'll know him. And for me, it was like, it took a good part of a, you know, a 4 mile run to go, that's the theme that's emerging here. And I think if I would have just centered in on just a verse or two, they'd have been encouraging. But for me, man, I feel like it sometimes goes below or beneath words. Like I want to know him. And it sounds thematic. It sounds like, you know, ethereal almost, like, hey, it's just out there. But like, no, that's just like leveling theme that kind of emerges. And there's other themes in there for sure. This isn't the one, right? But like, I found meditating and just thinking about all that he had said, what is he really saying above and beneath all of that? Mm. It's kind of fun just to see those thoughts emerge.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I shared in sermon meeting. I mean, this was game changing passage for me a long time ago. When I actually started to carry a Bible with me to work, I actually had it on me, a mm-hmm. little pocket Bible. I could pull out of a pocket on the overalls that I wore to work. And there was one of those passages one day where it just struck me. Like, that's what I want. I want to know him.
Yeah.
I do want to know the power of his resurrection. And I don't think I want to suffer with him, but if that's what it is, you know, and it was a powerful experience, and I can go back to my office, you know, 20 plus years ago and be like, wow, like I remember that, you know, that little Bible, I would have got rid of it a long time ago, except for one verse underlined and highlighted in that little pocket Bible that I don't use anymore, but it's on my shelf because that verse was a game changer for me in the sense of, man, look at what he's got. And it did. I mean, it wasn't like my first time I read through that letter, I'm sure of it. You know, it was like over and over, and all of a sudden it was just like, I felt like those times where the Holy Spirit just knits that verse with your heart, and you're like, oh man. And I don't think that happens if we don't think about it and consider it and mull over it and place it in our mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Even like Mark, you just were talking about like Paul's age. I never thought about that before in regard to this passage. And that changes it a little bit for me. Like it makes me go, oh, okay. So why is this guy who's on in years, you know, I don't know how old he is, probably in his 50s or, you know, but in the world he was living, he was up in years for sure. And I see, like, even if I don't think, man, I just want to know Jesus like he does, then it makes me go, well, why does he want to so much? You know, like that kind of lights something else up in the passage. And you look at it through the eyes of like, why does this guy want to know Jesus so much? What's going on? And a little thing, a little detail, I mean, it might seem like a little detail, but I never thought of it before, is his age changes the way I think about that passage and the way I maybe understand why was Paul the way he was when he's writing this. Oh, how does his age play into that? And I think that's the kind of thing that you don't get to unless you spend some extra time just, I'd almost call it like unstructured time in the passage, like not just answering the questions, but reading and wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in particular, I mean, you can get books on, you know, spiritual disciplines or whatever to talk about actually, like, how do you practice the spiritual discipline of meditation upon scripture? But at its base level, how do we think about and consider? And then there's techniques you can do and all that kind of stuff. But it all, I think, Tim, you made a really good point. Like, it's all going to require time. Mm-hmm. If we don't create the space in our world to run scripture through our mind, then scripture's not going to run through our mind, right? So that's an important part of, hey, how do I get to that point of saying, okay, I want to know him. How do I even get to the point of saying, I want to know him if we don't create that space for it to happen? So,
and I think, Mark, I think your writing thing, you know, I mean, it's not the way I am, but you write, you journal, you write while you're in, like kind of having a conversation with God and engaging in scripture. I think that, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think probably that helps create some of the time though. Like it slows you down a little bit to have to write. Doesn't that create more time?
It takes a little bit of time. And even when we ask questions like, hey, God, what are you saying to me? Jesus, what are you saying? Spirit, speak to me. Like, mm-hmm. I put this line in my journal, like, okay, there's a mark in there. And I shred them every time I finish them, so no one's ever going to read these, right? But in my journal, it's like, okay, God, what do you want to say to me?
Yeah.
And just allow the scriptures to have their space to breathe and to allow the Spirit to speak in such a way that it's taking principles and thoughts and ideas and truth of the scripture and going, what is it going to look like for the world I live in today, for the people I'm going to be in front of today? How will that play out today? And it's been really fun to see the meditation of scripture become something that obviously the Holy Spirit uses to say, here's how this could have some playtime in your world today.
Yeah, cool.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So, Mark Hoffman, thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah, I feel like you got to play with the boys today.
That's fun, right?
Thank you.
Hey, so we have any final thoughts, well, Mark? That's final thoughts?
No,
well, you're each going to have an opportunity.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to
final thought. What is your final thought? Or maybe your thought was your final thought.
I don't think I have a final. I was waiting for Tim's.
All right, Tim.
I think you just gave us one there.
I think he did.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to double down on what we just were talking about, especially this week as people are going through Live It Out. It doesn't mean every day you got to now stretch it into this long thing, but we're talking about meditating on scripture a little bit. So especially this chapter 3, and as people go through that this week, I just hope they'll take, maybe it's just one of those days, a little extra time. Add, you know, like you suggested, Dave, put it at different times throughout the day. Put a reminder on your phone. Some way, carve out some time to spend extra time meditating on this passage and see what God does with it.
Awesome. Well, that's it. We will see you next week.